Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
And hey, it's Larry Mack over here at KLPX in Tucson, Arizona. Your new album, The Endless River, out in stores next week. I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us here in Tucson.
Very welcome, Larry.
So The Division Bell was released 20 years ago, and from what I understand, you, David, and Rick were going to make it a double record. What made you guys decide to scrap that plan and just put out the single disc version back then?
I think we just ran out of time. We developed the original one side of the record. We spent quite a lot of time on the one record, and we just ran out of time. We'd actually got a tour starting, and we just ditched the idea of doing the double album, because one album was going to be songs, the other one was what was then known as ambient music. But so we had all this material that had really never been developed. It wasn't it wasn't ready to be used, and it's actually taken us something like 20 years to refine it and develop it, and then turn it into something that makes a record in its own right.
So a lot of the fans out there, they've known about this music for the last 20 years. What made you and David revisit the Division Bell sessions and rework the music for this new record?
Well, I think initially it was probably Andy Jackson, one of our engineers, who reminded us that we had this material and that something should be done with it. And as I say, it was just a very long process of distilling things and finding out what was there, and then working out what we needed to do and what we needed to add to make it work. And the other big thing on it was really remembering and discovering just how much of Richard there was playing on these pieces. And that became, when Richard died 5 years ago, it became more and more important to maybe recognize what he'd done over the years. And this seemed a particularly good way of doing it.
What was it like emotionally for you and Dave to hear the recordings of Rick again while you were putting this new record together?
I think it was very moving, because I think we tend to forget what we managed to do when we play together, and I think listening back you're so almost surprised really at what is constructed by the three of us playing.
Now, I've heard a couple of the other tracks other than Louder Than Words, and it's mostly, like you said, ambient instrumental stuff, which kind of reminds me of Uma Guma, Adam Hart Mother, and even some of the soundtrack stuff that you guys did in the early days. What made you and David decide to keep it mostly instrumental and the longer pieces?
I think we really just liked the music as it was. There isn't a rule that says we have to put out lots of songs. There is one song on this record which we felt really worked. And rather than cast around trying to make songs out of things, it seemed far more sensible to actually accept that they were pieces of music, and that they do have a sort of link to all sorts of periods of the past, and assemble them into what we thought was the most listenable pieces.
Now, I understand that you actually found the piece that Richard did back in the late 60s on a organ at an old church or something like that?
No, it wasn't an old church. It was the Royal Albert Hall organ. And we were actually playing a concert in there in 68, about the time of Sourceful of Secrets. And we had a full orchestra coming in the evening to play. And the idea was that Richard would do the last section of Saucer on the actual Albert Hall organ, which is an enormous instrument. I mean, it's built into the fabric of the building. And there is a story that you're not allowed to use some of the stops because they will actually damage the fabric of the building.
Oh, wow.
And Richard had an afternoon, really, practicing and playing around on this extraordinary instrument. And I had no idea that we'd kept these tapes, but they came out of the woodwork. And it just seemed an absolute gift and an opportunity to use them to really good effect.
Now, the one song with vocals other than the Stephen Hawking song is Louder Than Words. We've been playing it here on the station. How did the lyrics of that song come about?
Well, they were written by Polly Sampson, who's David's wife. And I think, like all good songs, it can be interpreted in a number of different ways. And certainly one of the elements of this song is remarking really on the way that the three of us, or the history of the band, is about people who communicate very badly verbally. But despite this, produce music in a way that we don't even really understand why it works so well or how it works. I mean, as I say, it can be interpreted as a relationship of a couple, or it can be seen in a more sort of global way. But certainly there's an element of really talking about the band rather than anything else.
Well, I know that Rick toured with David on his last solo record. Are there any plans for you to work with David on his upcoming solo album and tour, or vice versa?
Well, there was. He certainly mentioned me playing on a track or two of his solo album, which I'd be very pleased to do. But assuming we continue to speak to each other, that should happen.
Now, do you have any solo stuff in the works, or are you in racing still? What are you doing on your spare time?
No, I'm not. I have no solo projects. I've certainly been working with some other people. I'm still really enjoying playing in the music, playing in the studio, and I've even worked with a wedding band over the last few months. Maybe there's a career in that.
Adam Sandler certainly made a popular movie about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I did a listener poll of what question they would like me to ask you. And here it is, and probably the millionth time you've heard this question. Any chance of you, David, and Roger ever getting back together and doing a tour or any one-offs, charity events, anything like that?
I'd say touring, almost never. I can't see that happening. I'd live in hope that if there was another Live 8 opportunity, that we would combine to do something. I think, hopefully we're all grown up enough to recognize that if we could make a big difference to something by performing again, that we'd do that. And, you know, we did it for Live 8. I can't see why we wouldn't do that again.
We've been speaking with Nick Mason of Pink Floyd. Nick, thank you so much for your time. Have a great day and good luck with the album.
Okay, thanks a lot.